Blog Talk Radio.
If you have ghosts, you have everything. If you have ghosts, you have everything. You can say anything you want, and you can do anything you want to do. If you have ghosts, you have everything. One never does that. One never does that. You can call it surprise.
Welcome to Night Visions with WPRS.
Hey, I'm Wendy.
And I'm Eric. And everybody knows we got Visionique in Tacoma here, as usual. Oh my God, let me tell you guys, we did put a R rating on this show because some of the stuff we're going to share with you, I didn't believe it myself.
Yeah.
But. Oh,
I supposedly was there, but half of it I don't remember. So, yeah, R-rated.
Well, I will let everybody know we're going to bring someone super special on. But before we do, I just wanted to give you guys an idea. Everybody knows that we were at the cabin on 360. And thank you, Ryan and Dennis, as usual. We had an amazing time, and I personally want to thank Dennis. And you may ask, why am I thanking that crazy crazy dude. Well, let's just say Dennis stirred up a few things Friday night.
Well, we'll save it to when we can get our co-host. Because he was going to be a co-host.
Oh yeah.
Because he was there for it all.
So we are going to bring him on now. Are you there?
That would be you, John.
Hello, hello, hello.
Hey.
Doing good. How's my parapeeps doing?
We're doing good.
Have you recovered?
Oh, I don't know about all that. I'm just ready to go back.
Yeah, it was definitely a jump in time while we were there.
First of all, I wanted to tell you, John, if you could do a favor, because Wendy doesn't remember a lot what happened this weekend, and wanted to see if you could apologize to
Anita from me, because obviously I did some crazy stuff.
Oh, it's all good. You know, I think most of it had to do with the spirits that were there that was kind of influencing a lot of folks. So don't even worry about that.
Because I know Wendy didn't believe half the stuff.
I don't, but I know what happened. So
I don't know if you remember, because I'm like chomping at the bit. But I don't know if you and Anita remember when you were doing the blessing and, you know, saying that nothing could follow us and all that. Did you notice Wendy during that?
Well, we need to start at the beginning of this story.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, Bob.
I mean, the little thing that we did in front of the brick house, I mean, that's when we really noticed your attitude, your persona, and everything else begin to really being affected. And that's why we had to do that grounding and that blessing, because it was just getting too much for you. I mean, your whole attitude changed. I mean, you were definitely not yourself.
Well, the thing was, we had a Saturday night show. We had a special Saturday night show from 360. And I know I get a little quote-unquote crazy about my shows. I want it to be perfect. Everything has to go a certain way and everything. And it just didn't seem like it was going that way.
Right.
Because of this chaos, not really chaos, just the way things, you do an investigation, not everything's going to go right. Well, I stuck a show in the middle of all this investigation.
you have to realize that the spirits there were, I mean, they knew what was going on, and they knew that they were going to just play havoc with everything. I mean, everything from trying to do your show to our equipment failing, with the batteries being drained, with you being affected, with them, with the spirits going in between, the two houses and the outside in the forest. So there was a lot going on. So they were definitely playing games with us, which was fine.
Well, like I had told Wendy, everything was going to plan per se, but, and I want to set the mood a little bit, and like I said, the wording I'm going to use is the wording that I heard, because I want people to truly understand. I mean, it was crazy. We were starting the show, and, you know, Wendy normally gets, you know, nervous like anybody would, but she was just sitting there, and she was, like, giving this Will Evil stare. I mean, just staring at everybody. And all of a sudden, out of the blue, she says, might as well not have a fucking show because you guys are not going to do it right. And she told me.
Excuse me for that, Mom.
And then I remember Anita told me that, thank goodness that she loves Wendy so much, because she said basically Wendy was going to try to make her eat the phone. And Wendy said that all she remembers is, you know, just handing her the phone.
Yeah.
Oh, no, no. You basically almost shoved it right up her nose.
Oh, my God.
I mean, one thing you have to realize with Anita is, you know, I mean, she's, you know, being British, you know, they can, you know, be pleasant, but man, when you cross that line, you know, God and Queen's gonna come raining down on you, and you were getting close if you were someone else. But you know, she understood what was going on. You know, she could see your attitude changing, and not for the good. Which goes with the stories that's been going on at the cabin, you know, with other teams going in, people being affected by an entity being angry, overbearing, and things of that nature. So, you know, that part of the investigation, we were taken by surprise, but not really, if that makes any sense. We figured something was going to happen, but not to you.
Right.
I wanted to ask your opinion on something, because I know a lot of times, you know, people like to say that, you know, there's something demonic. Is it possible that because it was the anniversary coming up of the day that, you know, that particular thing happened, is it possible that the energy in that home was just, you know, so strong that it, like, unleashed this power, per se?
Well, you know, this is the thing. You know, there's so much spiritual energy there. You know, in between the what happened with the murder, with the violence that was taking place on the land, and then, you know, having the accidents down the road and everything else, I think it's just a cumulative of energy being built up. Now, with the demonic, you know, we have to look at the word demonic itself. You know, each group has their own definitions. You know, I kind of use the demonic definitions that's given by the Catholic Church. And if we go with that, you know, I don't think it was a truly demonic, but I think it, whatever it is, and I'm going to use the word it, because I don't think it's something that's human bound. I think that whatever this it thing is able to manifest itself in a way to scare us, to so we can gather more energy. And the more energy it gathers, the more things it's going to do. Which is, you know, by, you know, making itself look like a demon, something demonic with horns, with hooves, half man, half beast, using, you know, deep voices, you know, I'm the devil, I'm Beelzebub, and also affecting people. And the more you affect people, not only are you gaining energy from the person being infected, but if you look at everyone around that person, they're being affected and giving off fear, because they're going, oh my God, this person is changing, not for the good. So there's going to be concern, which is energy being released. And this it is going to absorb that and manifest itself in ways to keep us fearful.
I think it plays off of your fears, for one. Mine that night being my show going crazy, which it did, but, you know, it was also raw and, you know, in person, and it showed that what happens there and right there, you know, live.
Exactly.
You know.
I mean, that's part of the whole investigation part is, you know, yes, you can do your EVPs. Yes, you can have up your EMF meters to measure the environment, but it's the human factor that we can't really measure, but we can observe. And in your case, it would have been your personality changing. Now, did this entity come into you? No, I don't think it did. I think that it was affecting your personality to the point where it was transposing its ickiness, if you will, its attitude, and putting it onto you. So you were absorbing it at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And trust me, young lady, boy, you definitely got Anita going, and I was kind of chewing my back tongue going, girl, if this was somewhere else, you and I would have a little serious talk, but we kind of figured something there was affecting you, and that's why we did the grounding outside.
And the things that I do remember, Eric is telling me, you know, and everybody's telling me that what I remember is not what happened. What I thought was going on, or the way I thought I would act, what actually happened is completely, you know, it's off in left field somewhere. It's just wrong.
Yeah, because talking to Ryan, he contacted me, and he's like, what happened to you guys? And I told him the show just, you know, went dead. And he's like, no, it didn't go dead. So when I told you guys that we couldn't hear anything, it was something was messing
with
the show. Because I know Wendy even got mad, too, because she was saying that she wanted – your friend's name was Diane, right?
Yeah.
Well, she's like, she wanted Diane to, like, introduce herself and say some stuff, and I said she did. And Wendy didn't even remember that even happening.
Yeah, I think next time when we go back there and we do another show, I think we're going to have to kind of, one, Wendy, we're going to have to ground you down. You know, as an investigator leading the investigation, you know, it's our duty to make sure, you know, everyone on the team and who's there present is, you know, in a good environment and they're protected. We didn't really do any type of protection. And I think the whole day itself was just kind of off just because it was just one of those days. Now, that being said, you know, next time around, you know, we're going to have to look at more protection protocols for everybody, knowing what's there and how it can be, how they can affect other members in the group that's investigating. And that goes for almost any investigational team that's there. You know, they need to be aware that there is something there that will possibly affect somebody in the group.
Mm-hmm. And this happened. It seems to be happening to a lot of people. Like the group that came down, was it 9 hours and stayed an hour and a half and left? Or stayed, you know.
Exactly.
A short amount of time.
Exactly.
Because they kind of dealt with the same thing. So.
And now I wanted to ask you.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I wanted to ask you now, you know, when you were doing the blessing, did you guys take note of Wendy? Because this is when I knew something was really messing with her, because the whole time, and I even noticed this happening with Scarlett. When you were doing that, both of them were just looking around everywhere, kind of like rolling their eyes. And Wendy actually went, you know, kind of like made a noise and rolled her eyes and just went and laughed.
Yeah. I mean, with Scarlett, I mean, that was her first encounter for something that, you know, she hasn't really dealt with. And again, you know, she's coming into her own as a gifted child, and she needed to be exposed to that. And I don't think she was in that much. In fact, I don't think she was in any danger whatsoever. I think a lot of it was kind of focused on the Wendy. And, you know, I did notice, you know, the body language of Wendy, you know, being very standoffish, being very disrespectful, but not purposely being disrespectful, but you could tell it was something else making her do that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because you know me, that is not me at all. At all.
Well, I mean, at one point, Di and I were talking about, you know, having you go sit in the van, or maybe taking you down the road away from the cabin, just to, you know, reground you before you came back.
Okay, I wanted to get to some of the stuff that happened with you guys, but I have one more because, like I said, I've been waiting for so long because this is after you guys left. Well, you know, Wendy seemed okay, but she, you know, was just kind of out of it. And as
yeah.
she was like going to sleep, is it possible, and I don't want to sound weird or anything, but is it possible for someone else to like absorb or take the negativity out of her that got and that affected her? Because as she was drifting off to sleep, I kind of was like, I rubbed her back in a way like a massage thing and kind of said a blessing. And all of a sudden, Wendy, I heard her go, ow, and it was in her voice. And then she just sat up, and she was like nothing had happened. She was wide awake, you know, ready to. And it was like she totally
right.
changed.
Like it just went away.
Yeah, it's like
so
the negative energy just pulled. Yeah. Oh yeah, that's more than likely what has happened. I mean, because you know everyone left, because we left. You guys were settling down for the evening, so that entity is like, well, there's nothing else for me to do. You know, I can't affect anybody. No one's going to pay attention to me. So I'm just going to just return to wherever it hides. So, yeah, what you saw was that entity being pulled out, but at the same time, it was her guides were kicking in trying to push that entity back, which, you know, we're going to have to work on that with her. To learn how to do a good protection and learn how to understand the feelings of being taken over or being influenced. That just comes with experience.
Okay, yeah, because like I said, I told her I wouldn't have changed anything because I wanted to experience something. I wanted, you know, to be able to, I guess, you know, not live something. I mean, I hated that it had to happen, like, to Wendy and that, because I know afterwards she felt really bad because she's like, now they're going to all defriend me because of the way
oh,
I
God,
acted.
No.
And I'm like,
no. I mean, we've been around this block for 30-some years. So, you know, we've seen it. We understand it. But it's something that it's an experience that you guys had to have to understand that, you know, it's just not, you know, walking around and doing EVPs and dowsing rods. You know, this stuff can affect people. You know, it's not a spectator sport. You have to be on your game. So, you know, now you know what can happen, and hopefully you'll take that experience and use it to your advantage, saying, you know what, I'm not going to have that happen to me. I know the warning signs. I know what to look out for. I mean, that's why we do the buddy system. If someone's being affected, you know, your buddy is going to see that. Now, I would have to say that at the cabin, you know, I was kind of taken away because it's, one, I didn't realize how big the area is. And with all the locations that's haunted, that has activity, wasn't really prepared for it. So, you know, trying to do, you know, three different locations, the two homes and the property, and then watch everybody else, something was going to fail. And unfortunately, Wendy got the end result of it.
I don't see it such as, I mean, it is a bad thing, but it's not a bad thing. I want the experience, I got the experience. Now I'm going to move on and
grow off of it. Well, see, like Josh's saying, we're going to grow from this. We're going to know next time we've got to do this before we...
I'm ready to go back. Brian, Dennis, I'm ready to go back.
Well, we're Anita and I are talking about it, and since I have a good idea of how big the property is, I think the guidelines that we have to use next time is going to be a little bit more detailed. You know, instead of running all over the place, you know, in between the. Say again.
You went in blindly because you didn't know anything about it. It was your surprise birthday party.
Well, yes, it was. Yep.
Yeah, we chose place.
I mean, usually when I get to an investigation, you know, well, first of all, I know it's an investigation, so I can prepare myself mentally and physically before I get there. So when I got there, you know, I was definitely at a disadvantage. But definitely the next time we're there, it's going to be a lot more organized and more scientifically detailed instead of just running around between two homes. And because, I mean, don't get me wrong, it was fun, but it was also really daunting because you don't know which spot you want to go to, and you're afraid that if you're in one house, you're going to miss something in the other. And so, yeah, it's interesting. It was fun, though. I had a blast.
So enough about me. What did you catch down there? What did you know? There was a ton of EVPs around there.
Yeah, I mean, we did get a lot of EVPs from the brick house. Got a couple from, in fact, got a handful down in the basement. And it seems like the ones in the basement were mostly male, at least two to three different voices. It seems like they were kind of interacting with each other, but they were definitely talking to us. And one of them had a really foul language. I mean, basically telling us to, you know, fuck you and shit and those wonderful EVPs, which was, you know, which tells me it's someone who has a lot of anger. You know, could have that been the person who was affecting you? We don't know yet. But then you got some, you know, you had an EVP that says something about someone cut his face or the face got cut, which could be Civil War related in the battlefield. You know, we just don't know that. Then we got the little girl in the cabin saying, I'm not afraid.
Uh-huh.
Now, could that have been Melissa? We don't know. We're going to have to do more investigations there to get a good baseline on who's who. And also find out, you know, where do we get all these voices from? Is that girl just tied to the cabin? Or can we get her in the brick house? Or can we get her outside? there's a lot of different things, a lot of unknowns that we don't know yet that we need to find out.
That's true.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I really wish we could have had you guys a little more prepared, too, to spend the night, because I'm telling you, to truly understand that place, for me, spending the night there really gives you a different...
But it gets so peaceful overnight. Overnight in the loft. Every time I have spent the night there, it has been in the loft. And I think that is where I find my most peace. And I don't know why. I would love to find out why, but... You know,
well,
like
I mean, think
said,
of it, think of it... Think of it like a big party. You know, everyone's up and running around, you know, doing EVPs, doing EMF meeting readings and stuff like that. So the spirits are going to get active. They're going to go, yes, you know, we're going to interact. We're going to do our stuff and affect this, that, and the other. But then as we begin to wind down, you know, they can see that. They can see us going, you know, they're getting tired. You know, looks like they don't want to, you know, play anymore. So we're going to start backing down and settle down. And once you guys are asleep, there's really nothing for them to do. You know, you might hear them walk around, make some noise, but they're not going to do anything that's really major. Now, they might do something after you leave, you know, like move a table and things like that, just to, you know, cause ruckus for the next group that comes in.
Well, I remember the first time we ever spent the night there, we actually had video cameras on us the whole night, audio and video, and the whole night you heard, I mean, it was like the EVPs, and it was people talking, people moving, and we never heard or saw or any of that, so we were just kind of, because that would be not kind of something I want to look, want to work towards, is getting cameras and audio.
Yeah,
and
you know, like I was talking to Anita, I mean, like I said, you know, yes, this was a surprise party, so obviously, you know, she couldn't bring all the gear because it would have just set, gave me a flag. It's like, why are you packing all the DVR cameras? And we have probably a total of 12 to 24 cameras. So that would have been a big giveaway that she was doing something. But, you know, we have enough DVR cameras to do both locations, both homes, remotely. You know, we've got enough audio equipment to let them run for at least 6 hours overnight.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to see if we hear anything. Now, EVP-wise, I think the brick house has more in it. And not just because of the murder. You know, let's just take that out of the equation. I think that with everything that's been going on there, you know, with people coming in from investigations, you know, they could have brought stuff in, the stuff on the land from the battles, you know, they're quite aware that it's a house, so they probably are just going to, quote, and unquote, live there. You know, we were getting stuff in the, you know, EVPs in the kitchen, which was a different voice than what we were getting in the basement. So there's a lot of things going on, and I think going back there again, you know, or at least, you know, seeing if we can do a long-term full investigation to document who's who with voices should be in order for that place. Because there's a lot of stuff going on, and right now, you know, I think we're just scratching the surface. We're seeing little bits and pieces, you know, from the forest, from the brick house, from the cabin, that we're really not piecing all the puzzle together correctly.
Well, I thought it was quite interesting when you, me, Anita, and Diane were in Melissa's room. And not much was happening, and we were, and she was like, "Well, you know, it's the night before the murder, A, it was nighttime, and, you know, the nighttime before that, nothing probably would have been happening. It was kind of like
right.
You back to 1979, and this is what would have been happening at this time of night beforehand. And
right. I mean, I think that there could have been several possibilities going on. And again, you know, I'm kind of grasping at ideas. You know, either we're coming up in a couple of hours to the anniversary, so the energy hasn't been released yet, if you look at it from that point of view. Two, you know, maybe her energy has already crossed over from an earthbound to a spiritbound, and she comes back and forth. Because, you know, in her mind, you know, that's still her home. Or it was just one of those periods where, you know, there was nothing there, nothing for us to gather. Now, it doesn't mean that, you know, she's not haunting the place, but, you know, it just probably wasn't the right time for us to sense her. You know, or maybe
right.
that EVP that we got of the little girl in the loft up in the cabin saying, I'm not afraid, you know, that could be her. We just don't know. So I'm not going to rule anything out from her room. Now, as a medium going through her room, I really didn't sense anything that was bad, except just being the energy being pulled to the basement.
Mm-hmm.
And that could be just because there were entities down there, and that's where the energy I needed to go with my energy. So, again, you know, we don't know what's happening in her room. You know, it could be quiet for a couple of days, and then you could put a microphone in there, and you could get someone screaming, you could get a gunshot. We just don't know yet. And I think that's one of the fascinating things about that place is finding that out.
That would be interesting. I don't think nobody's ever said that I know of that that's ever happened, but imagine if it did. Wow.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, if you were able to capture something like that on recording, you know, you have to kind of ask yourself, you know, one, you know, are you just picking up a residue energy, which more than likely you would, and it's just being replayed on the environment, you know, on the anniversary.
Mm-hmm.
Or just being released in the environment at random times. So, you know, we have to kind of look at that too. But yeah, it doesn't mean that she's there. It's just the event is still there, imprinted on the environment. Now, I personally hope she's crossed over, just because
uh-huh.
to have her soul at peace. But there's a lot more going on. Yeah, there's a lot more going on that land that can keep any investigator busy for a very long time.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. What were you
going to
say,
Eric? One of, for me, that next morning, and it was around the time it happened, I actually walked over to the rancher, and I, you know, I did a little, I guess you could say a little ceremony. Little prayer for her, and I ended up doing a prayer for her stepbrother, too. And then I kind of just... And that's what I'm saying. I don't know if I did the right thing but I actually, you know, did a thing for the house, too, because I don't know. For some reason, I just feel like everything that has happened on that road, the energy is being pulled to the cabin in this ranch. And I think, in my opinion, that's how, you know, how I feel, why a lot of stuff is happening.
Right. And, I mean, look at the road. Yeah, I mean, look at the road itself. I mean, that road has seen a lot of history, a lot of tragedy, you know, from Civil War to, you know, auto accidents up and down the road. So, you know, the idea of that location being like a big antenna, you know, drawing things in, you know, that's a really high possibility. You know, there's a lot of traumatic events in a certain area, which in this case would apply because of the murder, because of the fighting from the Civil War, and, you know, people dying from the highway. You know, it could just open up a door or a tear and allow spirits to go in and out. And if that's the case, then there's really no way to remove it. I mean, you could try and close up the portal, but some with that much energy floating around, I don't think there's a way you can do it. I think it's going to be one of those spots that I don't think can ever be cleansed.
Yeah. Well, let me go off on another way right now. For a new group, say someone who hasn't investigated, and I know we haven't investigated as long as you have, but, you know, a new group, what would you recommend if they want to go there that they do? Or do you not recommend that they go there because there's so much going on?
You know, I got two thoughts on that. I mean, the first thing you want to do is, you know, you never want to put someone who's not prepared into a situation that can be detrimental to them or to their crew. Now, in saying that, you can't always run away from something that you need to experience. If I were a new group, if I was talking to a group that was going about to come in, I would tell them, first of all, do your research. Find your faith before you get there, because it will be tested on different levels. Have a plan, have a buddy system in place. And just because something happens to a member in the group, you know, have something prepared for that, but don't leave. Stand your ground. I mean, it is creepy to be in a room and visualizing, you know, a child asleep or getting ready to go to school, and then visualizing, you know, this person coming in, physically assaulting her, sexually assaulting her, and then shooting her. I mean, that brings up a lot of moral questions that are on the personal level. You know, you'll feel angry at the person who's doing it because you can visualize it in your mind. And that also is releasing energy into the environment. But you feel bad for the girl. And that can be overwhelming for some people. So if I was a new group, I would listen to the owners when they say, hey, you know what, this is not a game. You can be affected. Prepare yourself. Understand the risk that you're going to get yourself into. Now, you can go in there and nothing could happen, you know, which, you know, that will happen from time to time. But if you go in with a large group, which has a lot of people expanding energy and most of the people already scared or wound up, you know, someone's going to be affected.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to be prepared for that.
That's true, because I have to say I admire Ryan and Dennis a lot because, you know, a lot of places will let anybody and everybody go throughout the whole place, you know, to just experience. But, you know, they're saying that you have to be, you know, a certain age to go, like, into the...
And I 100% agree with that.
I do, too. That's what I'm saying. And I... I know, you know, it's not easy as an aspect of bringing more people in because, you know, a lot of people say, well, if it got to be this age, you know, why am I going to come here and bring my friends and, or, you know,
if they don't, if they don't understand that, then they're in the wrong place to begin with.
Right, you know, and it comes down to a maturity level, too. I mean, I know, you know, some teenagers who are much more mature than a 40-year-old who can handle the situation better than a 40. You know, it all, each person is going to be different. And I think that, you know, giving the heads up to people saying, hey, you know what, if you got any type of mental disorder, any type of addiction, you know, drug use or anything like that, don't come here because you will be a target.
Mm-hmm.
That's true.
You know, come here. If you're going to come here, come here with the respect that's due to the spirit that's there. Don't come there looking for a fight because, one, you'll lose, and two, never pick a fight with something you can't see or control.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I know that was something Dennis shared with us too. He's like, you know, I may taunt the whatever it is in the basement, but he says I don't recommend just anybody doing it because if you are not firmly grounded, it will eat your lunch.
Well, I mean, yeah, I mean, there's a difference between being forceful, taunting, and then being disrespectful. I mean, for example, I mean, if you're going in there saying, you know, come out here or I want to drag you from the ropes you hung yourself from, you know, you're asking for trouble. Now, if you go in with a stern attitude saying, you know, kind of like a parent or someone with authority, you know, you can still do your investigation, but you're not being disrespectful. But if you go in, you know, cursing, yelling, picking a fight, saying, you know, come and get me and, you know, I'm going to find you and I'm going to, you know, I'm going to, you know, do this, that, and the other. Yeah, one of two things are going to happen. Either the spirits are going to back off or they're going to allow something else to come in and fulfill your wish.
That's true.
But I do believe that, you know, for a paranormal group, I mean, if they want to get their feet wet, there's enough there at 360 for them to experience. If the house is too much, you know, there's stuff in the way back part of the woods.
Mm-hmm.
That they could experience.
I haven't
you know,
been
they can,
the
they can pick and choose. You know, if they don't want to deal with whatever's in the basement or the brick house, they can focus on, let's say, that older gentleman that's seen in the cabin. Or maybe a Civil War soldier that's down back in the woods.
Mm-hmm. Definitely something for everybody there.
Now, I know
the
older man, the older gentleman in the cabin interacted with your daughter, Scarlett. I mean...
Yes.
On the SLS? Is it SLS?
Yeah. Because,
yeah.
You know, we had some balloons in there, and she was asking him to kick the balloons, and we literally saw kicking the balloons.
I missed that.
Yeah, so like I said, you know, there's so much going on there that, you know, if you're going to do an investigation there, at least, you know, 2 days minimum. So there's no way you can cover everything in one night. And that's speaking from experience. Even I was overwhelmed with the size of the property. I was like a kid in a candy store going, oh, I want to go over here. Now I want to go back here. Now I want to go over here. You know, yeah, exactly. It's like, okay, I'm over here. Am I missing something back in the woods? You know, it was huge. But it was well worth it. I mean, the EVPs made up for it. Yeah, I wish we kind of got a little bit more video evidence. But, you know, next time.
Oh, there will definitely be a next time.
And we're going to find our IR camera because we actually have one.
Hello. Do you remember when they were talking about the tours that are coming up starting Tuesday? They're 2-hour tours. Excuse me for being vague here.
Oh, you had a lot going on, so you're forgiven.
It's 9 days, October 13th through the 21st. 2-hour tours, many a paranormal investigation. Like I said, October 13th through the 21st. 2 hours each, enough to go in and see, get your feet wet, 360. They're $20 a piece.
That's definitely worth it. I'm telling you, that is.
Yeah. I mean, just to get your feet wet, you know, just to have a look-see, you know, just to see what it's all about, that's a good deal. That's a good way to start right there. And if it's something that, you know, you find interested, then, you know, definitely book it for a longer duration for investigation.
We should do it just to get through it again.
Well, we're planning on it. We're planning on it.
Have
I
you
just
ever
need to sit down
and you just gotta go.
Say again.
Have you ever gone to a place and then you leave and but then it calls your name and you want to go back so bad?
Oh God, yeah.
I think that's always been 360 for us.
It always has, because even though everything that happened, I wouldn't have, I'd change it for nothing.
And the other two, the 2 days, how many years? Was that 2016 or 2017 when we actually did it for the first time?
I don't know. And the wild part was, and this was even before we knew about Melissa. We didn't know, and we were picking up on stuff, and it was like, whoa.
Yeah, because I've always been drawn to behind, to kind of where the clothesline is area. And like you said, this is before we even knew about Melissa. So I knew something was drawing me back there, but now we know the story, and, you know, I guess that's what I was picking up on.
I think once fall really kicks in and, like, the poison ivy back there starts dying in the woods, it would be really interesting to do some EVP sessions back there. Now, the only problem I see that is you got the road noise affecting the microphones and stuff. But that could help us, too.
Yeah, I know, because I know one of the times we went out there, Dennis and another friend of ours, they actually shot off their guns, and then we left recorders out there, and we actually picked up guns being fired off, and it was crazy. So
yeah.
I've been wanting to do more in the woods, too, because I feel like there's so much, and I know what was crazy. The whole time you guys were over in the ranch, Scarlett kept telling me, she's like, when they get back, can we go to the woods? Can we go to the woods? I want to go to the woods. I want to go to the woods. And she kept saying that. And then when you guys came back and we said, let's go to the woods, She didn't want to go to the woods.
Yeah, well, yeah, we were talking about that on Sunday. It's almost like she was being lured out to the woods.
Mm-hmm. You want to go.
But, you know, I know that, like I said, you know, I'm not a big fan of bringing kids. Now, with Scarlett, you know, she's very sensitive. You know, we're training her to use her gifts. You know, she's also a ghost hunter, too. You know, we've taken her out to investigations, so she learns not to be afraid. That was a really interesting place for her. Now, would I tell people to bring their kids to it? No. Scarlett, on the other hand, as long as she's with myself or Anita, she's okay. I wouldn't have her, you know, go off by herself, not by any stretch, or to have her sit in a room by herself and do any type of sessions.
Well, we got 3 minutes. This is a fast hour again. Yeah.
Time flies.
Yes, it does. Well, thank you for being on with us. Thank you for going, having a wonderful birthday at 360. And
oh, it was fun. We loved it.
I'll be in touch with Ryan and Dennis and see if we can get another group date.
Well, we're kind of working on that, so.
Okay, cool.
And let Scarlett know that I want to do this again with her, because I'm telling you, I had the best time, because I basically, when we were in the cabin, I kind of let her take the lead, and I just wanted to see how she worked, and she just fiercely blew me away.
Well, when I take her out to Fort Monroe here to go a little mini ghost investigation, you know, I let her choose. When we get inside the fort, I'll say, okay, open up your intuition, look around, where is it leading you? And I will let her take me where she wants to go. And 9 times out of 10, she's spot on.
Yeah.
She's an awesome young lady. Definitely is. But anyway, thank you. Thank you for being on. We'll be in touch. Rest
okay,
of y'all.
Okay, well, thank you for having us. Get some rest.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye.
The rest of y'all are Tuesday at 7 o'clock, and there's one at 9:30. The two-hour tour for 3:30. They're going to have refreshments, a tour. It's going to be it's put on by Crops, which is their team. So I would definitely look into it. You can find them on Facebook, on The Cabin on 360. Anything else?
Yeah, I wanted to seriously, though, thank Ryan and Dennis again for everything they did. Because Ryan, if you hadn't been running the board for our show that night,
it would have been kaplooed.
Yeah,
goodbye.
It would have been goodbye. So thank you for that. And if you want to go here, they will take care of you. They'll tell you any history you want to know. If you don't want to know, they won't tell you. But definitely check them out. Thank you, guys.
We love you.
We hope you guys have enjoyed the show. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Oh,